Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt, ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Karlsson,
yeah!
Karlsson!
Yes, welcome everybody to another episode of the Keeping Karlsson Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the longest running fantasy hockey podcast in the world, hosted by a guy who's actually mid Dynasty League draft right now. So it's the perfect time to be bringing on my guest. You know him, you love him from the DPR show, prospect expert, Peter Harling. Peter, how's it going?
It's going great, man. Thanks very much for having me on. You have the best podcast intro ever.
No, I even feel so awkward doing it at this point, especially like with a guest. I feel like, oh no, I'm going to embarrass myself here, but I
no,
appreciate
man.
It.
It's amazing. It brings the energy up right out of the gate. I love it.
All right, so let's do our best, I guess. I guess it's my job here, try to keep the energy up. We've got a really fun show. It's a yearly tradition at this point. For people who don't know, a month ago, June 28th, when was the draft? I don't know, around a month ago, there was the NHL entry draft. A whole bunch of 18 and 17-year-olds got picked by NHL teams. But Brian and I were too busy to talking about all the NHL trades and then UFA day. And all it was. We never got around to talking about the draft. But that's what Peter is here for. We're going to go through all of these new prospects and talk about them in terms of fantasy value. I know there's a lot of great podcasts out there, including DPR Show. Well, they also talk about fantasy value. But I've been listening also to like The Athletic and like Cam Robinson's show that I'm blanking on the name of. But they're talking
called
about
up.
Real
life.
Who, yeah, called out. Yeah, called up. I know they talk a lot about cashews. I know that's like a big part of the podcast, comparing players to cashews and things like that.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, we don't care about if
cashews.
I don't know. We don't care about cashews. We don't care about if I don't know. Reggie Murka.
Pistachios.
Oh, pistachios, not cashews.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm blowing their promotion right now.
That's all right.
Maybe we can put their promo code in the show notes or something. But yeah, we don't care if Rady Mertka is going to be an awesome two-way defenseman and shut other teams down. We're looking for people who are going to contribute to the fantasy categories we care about. So this is going to be a really fun chat. And Peter, I'm thinking we could just start at the top.
Yep.
We'll go through the draft until we get to a point where it's like, oh, I think we've covered enough of these people. Then we can, you know, just get some of Peter's favorites from later in the draft. We'll see how much time we have left. I mean, I could talk to Peter forever, right? I could ask him about previous drafts and all those players who were drafted too. But yeah, let's get started with the first overall pick, Matthew Schaefer to the New York Islanders. He's a defenseman. It's the first time since, I guess, Owen Power that a defenseman has been taken. Other notable defensemen taken first overall. We all remember Rasmus Dahlin. I guess my first question right off the bat, Schaefer, are we looking closer to a Power or closer to a Dahlin? Because I know right now who I'd want on my fantasy team. It's not Owen Power yet, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's maybe closer to a Rasmus Dahlin.
Ooh.
He's a great player. There's a lot of risk with him, though, right? Like, he missed the beginning of the season with mono and then broke his clavicle at the World Juniors and played, I don't know, 30 games or whatever it was. It was a pretty small sample size in his draft year. And he wasn't the consensus number one ranked going into the season either. He took that over pretty quickly. Looked great at the CHL national team prospects game that they had. Saw him there and was really impressed with what I saw. You know, he's just a fluid skater. Now, I guess a lot of where I say players should go higher or lower based off their actual NHL draft position has a lot to do with league format and scoring and positional values and whatnot. And most of the leagues that I'm in, actually none of the leagues that I'm in, did he go first overall in fantasy draft.
Yeah, actually I'm in two leagues that have done dynasty drafts. One that I'm actually in the middle of right now. And yeah, and both of them also, Misa went first and Schaefer went second.
Yeah. I don't even think he went second. I think he slipped to like fourth or fifth in one of the leagues that I'm in, but that's just because, you know, defensemen don't score as much and there isn't any weighted scoring to compensate for that. So they're undervalued.
I see. Yeah, I guess in some leagues, I know in the these two leagues, like, there's like six D spots. So I guess there's also the whole, there's the scoring settings, and there's also like what roster spots you have to fill. It is kind of nice, even if you can get like a 70-point guy compared to, say, a 90-point forward, it's kind of nice to be getting one of your defense slots providing 70 points if Schaefer can do it. I guess sounds like you're saying it looks like the upside is there for him to be that. But again, we didn't see that many games from him. 22 points in 17 games with Erie last year. So we're just got to hope that what he showed in that small sample will translate also to the bigger samples, and it wasn't just like a lucky stretch. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say for sure. I think that if he had played the whole season and didn't hit the net at the World Juniors, that the arrow would just continue to point up all season long for him, and we'd be in the same boat that we are now, where he went first overall, and he's going second or third on average in most fantasy drafts because he's a defenseman. I guess the real question with him for your fantasy leagues is projecting him going forward. How soon do we expect him in the NHL? Because he missed so much key development time in his draft year, stands to reason that, you know, he might not be ready for the NHL yet. I would doubt it. I wouldn't want to see him in the NHL yet. If I picked him in fantasy, I would think that he would be best served at a lower level, which at this point his options would be back in the Ontario League or signing and playing NCAA. I'm not sure. He hasn't signed NCAA, so I'm not sure what his thoughts are. If he goes to training camp, that closes the door on his NCAA eligibility. So if he goes to training camp, it's either NHL or back to the OHL at that point. Either way, I think you're looking at another year before I would think he'd be ready.
Right. Okay. So in your 1 year leagues, maybe you're drafting Tony D'Angelo if you want that top power play defenseman on the Islanders and not Matthew Schaefer.
That would be a much safer bet.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at number two then with Michael Misa, who I'm imagining went first overall in all the leagues you were talking about where Schaefer didn't go first. He had an incredible season points wise, 134 points in 65 games with the Saginaw Spirit. Didn't even play on Team Canada in the World Juniors. And now look at him. Superstar for the Sharks.
Yeah. Well, the whole Canadian World Junior thing, that's a whole other conversation for another podcast. He should have been on that team. He's, you know, he came into the OHL with the exceptional status. And well, I think that can be complicated for some people's analysis on prospects. It doesn't mean that they're identified as, you know, someone who's going to be a generational talent like McDavid or Gretzky or anything. It just means that they're already prepared to play at the OHL level at 15 years old. It doesn't mean that they're going to be Gretzky or McDavid, whatever. It just means that they're old enough, they're mature enough, and it's best for their development to join that league at that stage. And they go through a pretty rigorous audition or vetting process for that. And yeah, so he was an exceptional status player, and his rookie season was fantastic. He had all kinds of highlight reels and was a phenomenal player. And then his second year with Saginaw, they went to the Memorial Cup, and he's won a Memorial Cup championship with them, but kind of more as an insulated depth player where they had a lot of veterans up front that were carrying the mail, but he was still a valuable contributor to that team. And then obviously as the OHL works, a lot of those players aged out or graduated, and Saginaw went for a bit of a retool, loaded up on some picks and younger guys, and he carried the mail for them last year. He was very, very good. So projecting him forward, he's going the NCAA route, I believe. And I haven't really kept up on the offseason signings. So some of these guys, I'm not sure if they've signed or not. Misa is one of them. I'm pretty sure he went to Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. So he's at least another year out. And I don't think San Jose is going to want to rush him, considering all the young players that they already have on their roster with Celebrini and Will Smith. They're not contending for Stanley Cup or even a playoff position quite yet, I don't think. So there's no sense in rushing him in. So you're going to have to sit on him for a season, probably just one season. And when he comes though, I think he's going to be a super dynamic offensive player that'll really probably lead the draft class in scoring.
Wow, and that's going to be on a team with Celebrini and, like you said, and Will Smith. This San Jose team is looking like they should be scary. They also have Askarov, who is like one of the top-ranked prospect goalies. I guess it's just defense.
Cagnoni and Sam Dickinson, they're okay there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, Dickinson, right. Yeah, and Cagnoni. Yeah. Okay, so is this what are we here? We're in 2025, 2028 Stanley Cup champions, or at least in the playoffs, do you think?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
They've got a lot of potential and promise that doesn't always come to fruition.
No, for sure. But yeah, we'll see how high Misa can go on for our fantasy teams. If you're saying I always wonder, like, if you're like kind of not the main guy on your team, like what your ceiling is. Obviously, though, we have like McDavid and Dreisaitl and, I don't know, Crosby and Malkin. So I guess we'll see if Misa can kind of fit in like with that. Okay, so I guess next we have Chicago. Anton Frandell. I've heard like so many, I feel like Misa and Schaefer were like the sure like guys that like everyone thinks that they're awesome. And then already like once we got to pick three, it seemed like in my fantasy drafts, people were going all over the place. And even in the NHL, like leading up to the draft, it seemed like some people were saying Frondell's incredible. He's going to be the next like Philip Forsberg or something. And then others were saying, oh, why didn't he produce in the, what was it, like the playoffs or whatever? He didn't get ice. So what's our current take on Anton Frondell? Because Chicago is another team, just like San Jose, that already has, you know, Bedard. And like they're also building up this awesome set of young, like future stars potentially. And like, so where does Frondell fit in, do you think, with Chicago and like in fantasy?
Well, you said it, man. It depends who you ask. Some people will say should have been the first overall pick. He's the best forward in the draft and he's got tremendous fantasy upside. Other people will tell you that he's very good, but he's shouldn't be considered in the top five. He's just, you know, he's got Anton Lundell upside. So it depends who you ask. I'm kind of on the opinion as well that I like his size and his all-round game, but I think when he matures in the NHL, he probably would be best suited on your second line, your middle six somewhere, as a two-way kind of guy. And if he's your number one center, I guess that, or number one first-line player, I he'd be okay there, but he'd be more ideally slotted a little further down the line. It'd be the difference between a competitive team and a contending team kind of thing. I like him. He wouldn't be my third pick in this draft, though.
Right. And in terms of fantasy, same. Like, so it sounds like, I don't know, if I'm reading between the lines, like, what are you talking, like 60, 70-ish point guy, not like a point per game kind of upside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, in the draft I'm doing right now, the Keeping Carlson Dynasty League draft, Frondell went fifth. So there were a couple guys that went ahead of him there. And one of them was the next guy that got taken in the NHL draft, Caleb Desnoyers, who was picked by Utah. So I've seen a lot of people comparing Desnoyers to Nico Hischier. That was like the name that I kept hearing as a comp. I don't know how you feel about these comps in general. I find them, you know, sometimes handy. Sometimes I guess they make you think of, I'm sure he's like a different player than Hischier in a lot of ways. But I don't know, in fantasy, I'd be pretty happy to get Hischier. You know, he's not, again, like, it's not like a 100-point guy, doesn't seem like, but just always solid, always, you know, around 70, 80 points, gets a ton of minutes, gets power play. Do you see that in terms of, if maybe not a real-life comp, then like a fantasy comp, or do you think he's like higher or lower?
I hate the comps. I hate writing them. I hate thinking them up and putting them out there. I love reading them, though. I'm like all the other readers. I love reading them and seeing what people think. And you want to make sure you're qualifying what you're reading. But okay, so they comparing his like career trajectory to Nico Hischier, or is it just his playing style? Because when you talk about playing style, that doesn't mean that he's going to score anywhere near the same amount. It could be more, it could be less. But yeah, Nico Hischier is a pretty good comp for Desnoyers. I did see him live too at the Top Prospects game in Oshawa when I went, and I was really impressed with him. He was the number one center on Team CHL ahead of all the other guys. Misa was actually on the wing, and that's where he might end up playing in the NHL, I think, when he gets there. So if you drafted him as a center, I hope I didn't just burst your bubble. But I think he's going to be on the wing Desnoyers, though, he's a really nice player. He was driving the play. He was very responsible defensively. He's very projectable to the NHL. I don't have his size stats in front of me, but you know, he's not a monster, but he's also not Cole Caulfield small either or anything like that. He's a dynamic offensive player too. I watched him in the Memorial Cup as well, and he's a play driver, and you know, that is high stakes, high pressure, high pace environments that I've seen him play in, and he rose to the occasion. He was very capable of not only keeping up with the play, but driving it. And that's one of the things that I like to look for when you watch players in these tournaments for small sample sizes. Yes, it's just a snapshot of a picture in time of their development graph, but you know, if they can't keep up with the pace and then they go back to their club team and play a regular game and dominate there, it doesn't give me the confidence that they can do that at a higher level, right? Yeah, you're really right. Great against teenagers at speed 8, but when you get to, you know, a tournament or a pro level and the speed goes up to like 12, you can't keep up anymore. You can't either physically keep up or process the game at that pace. But Desnoyers was right on top of it. So he's a player. If you picked him third, I wouldn't bat an eye at that. I'd take him over Lundell.
And is there, okay, so is there going to be another player we're going to get to who you would take though over Desnoyers that we should be watching out for? Or would he be your third?
Two.
Okay, so we'll get there. All right, I'm going to try to guess them. I'm going to guess this next one isn't someone you'd be taking over Desnoyers in fantasy, but Brady Martin went fifth to the Nashville Predators. So Brian and I are in the Keeping Carlson Dynasty League, and we started our draft just a couple days ago, or yesterday, feels like a million years ago, waiting for these picks to happen. Man, it's like, it's fun, but it's like, I'm really curious. Maybe this one I've been thinking about for like 3 months. I had 10th overall. I knew, like, I kind of had a list of 10 guys where I was like, if I get any of these 10 guys, I'm happy. So I think I'm good. I think this decision is going to be made for me. And the decision was made for us because 9 other people went. And then we took Brady Martin at 10, which I'm pretty happy about. So we'll see if you burst my bubble. I will point out that it is a multi-cat league with hits. I know that apparently he's really good for hits. I've been seeing, like, I don't know, he seems cool also. There was this whole thing about he's a farmer and he didn't go to the draft because he had to help on the farm. And then They showed like a clip of him and his friends, like, and family watching the draft on a big, like, TV that was held up by a tractor. Yeah. I don't know, that the whole thing, I don't know, I like this like farm strength idea. I feel like that's going to fit well in the NHL. And I've seen, again, the comps that you don't like, but I've seen a lot of Sam Bennett. And I'm not going to say this for everybody, but it's just like, that's the name you keep hearing, Brady Martin. Everyone's like, which I mean is a guy who actually kind of stunk for a while in the NHL and was a big bust, it seemed like, on Calgary, but now is getting paid big money on Florida and just won the Conn Smythe. So what's your take on this guy, Brady Martin, who apparently is a huge hitter, but also clearly has some offense. He scored 33 goals in 57 games in the OHL last year.
Yeah, the whole farmer vibe gives me Wendell Clark feels. And that's the kind of player that he is, too. He's a very physically aggressive player, but he can also score. So in
you kind of look like Wendell Clark, Peter, a little bit. Maybe?
I've never heard that before, but sure.
Okay, I'm going to bring up a picture right now. When you mentioned it, I was like, okay. Sorry,
I've been told I look like Matt Sundin before.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I mean, maybe. That's probably a better compliment, actually. I think that's a very handsome guy.
Love me some Wendell. Maybe if I lost the beard and just kept the handlebar.
Yeah, it's a little bit like of a darker color than the rest. So maybe from my angle, it does kind of look like a bit of a mustache.
Yeah. Well, yeah, back to Brady Martin. Yeah, in your league, getting him at 10th is great value. He's a player that I was targeting because I'm in a head-to-head league and we've got categories for hits and penalty minutes and shots and goals, and he's going to stuff all those stats. I don't think his offensive upside is perhaps quite as good as Sam Bennett's. I think Sam is a little underrated offensively. I think he's kind of maybe more like a Will Cooley, which is still fantastic. Cooley just had a really great season with the Rangers and he got paid. Good for him. So I think that's kind of what you're looking for. He's a very hard hitting and hard shooting winger. So yeah, in leagues where you're scoring the hits and whatnot, then that moves his value up. If you're not counting those at all, if it's just goals and assists, then he's no longer a top 10, I don't think, for me. But you know, the multi-cat value moves the needle.
Right. And then I guess we'll see. I don't know. I like the feel. Now I'm trying to convince myself, of course, that he actually also is going to be an offensive superstar. And I guess I just like to think that everyone says he's the hardest working guy. Like, he's going to outwork every person. So I guess we'll see what happens with Brady Martin there. But I guess the other thing for fantasy, which I don't want to do too much with prospects, because I know things can change by the time these guys are actually impact players. But you look at the team and I wonder a little bit about, like, is this guy going to have a chance to be like on the power play? Because that's just obviously a clear way to get a lot of fantasy points. I wonder if like Nashville is like maybe a decent spot, just because maybe as Stamkos and Marchessault are aging out, I don't know who's in the system that's taking those spots. So I like him there more than like a San Jose, where it seems like, you know, there would be no chance of him getting a top power play. But who knows, like in 3-4 years.
Man, Nashville has never drafted like an elite offensive player. Right? Have they ever had a guy that they've drafted and developed and he's turned into a 80-point player, 100-point player? Right? I don't think so. They've done really well at the draft. They've drafted some really nice players. And I think Brady Martin is not going to be the exception to that scenario.
That's a really fun question. What are the best ever draft picks made by the Nashville Predators? Because Philip Forsberg was drafted famously by Washington and then traded.
Right. Well, they've acquired a few guys, but they've never really drafted one.
They drafted Askarov, and they traded him.
Yeah, he's not going to score a lot.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So then Philly takes Porter Martone. I'm going to guess Martone is one of your guys you're taking over Desnoyer in fantasy.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I hear he's a good playmaker. I don't know. Good player. 98 points, 57 games in the OHL. A lot of people love Porter Martone.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. This was like the draft of like the return of the size matters draft, where almost everyone in this draft was over 6 feet tall, at least in the top two rounds. There was a lot of really big guys picked in this draft, and Martone is no exception. Fun thing about him, though, is he doesn't play like Brady Martin does. He's not very aggressive, and he's not very physical. He's way more of a finesse kind of guy, despite the fact that he's got the size if he wanted to use it. He just kind of seems to choose not to for some reason. But yeah, he sees the game at a pretty elite level. He makes some passes and plays that I didn't see those as an option until he made it. Like, very high end skill and vision. And, you know, this, sometimes he can be a bit of a liability defensively a little bit. And I do sometimes also question his compete level, but, you know, he's a very young guy. He's got a lot of development to do, and he's going to the NCAA. So he'll get a chance to play against older, stronger, faster guys. So that'll be a really good test for his projection to see how he adapts to the NCAA this coming season. But yeah, he's a player I'm really high on. I wish he was a little bit more aggressive. If he were, he would have been someone who I would have considered with the first overall pick if he was also able to deliver a lot of hits and be a little bit more mean, rack up some PIMs, because I still count PIMs in my league. But yeah, his points alone garner him being picked in the top five for sure all day long.
Right, and I mean, it's going to be a fun situation in Philly because you'll have Matvei Michkov there, and you're going to probably want to be on the power play with him. I guess on the line, at even strength, someone is going to have to center potentially those two, or Konechny is also a winger. I guess Philly doesn't really have a center. I know they traded up to 12th to pick Jack Nesbitt, who was a center. I guess we'll get to him in a little bit, but for people listening, so some scoffs faces here. Yeah. He's not, Jack Nesbitt isn't the first line center of the future for Philly.
I don't see it, but you know, I didn't scout him very hard, so maybe. The fact that they traded up to pick him really made a lot of people scratch their heads. Like, really? That's the pick you're going to make here? who did they pass on there? They passed on Carter Bear. Kashawn Aitchison just screams Philadelphia Flyer to me. I was certain that's who they were going to pick. And I can't decide if I was more shocked that they picked Jack Nesbitt or that they didn't pick Kashawn Aitchison there.
Right.
That was just, and personally, that was very disappointing.
And we could jump around a bit. Aitchison, I'd imagine, for fantasy purposes, is just going to be like one of these big bangers defensemen, like lots of hits and blocks. Or do you see also some offense there?
No, he's got offense. He can shoot it. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. He's not much of a distributor of the quarterbacking, the power play kind of thing, but he can carry the puck quite nicely up the ice. He can make nice breakout passes. He can pass it around the offensive zone. Fair enough. But I mean, he doesn't have the offensive skills or vision that Schaefer does. He's not even in the same hemisphere there. But he's kind of I've heard a lot of comparisons for him, and no one's ever compared him to Chris Pronger. Now, it's a style comparison, not a career trajectory. I'm not saying he's going to win Hart trophies and MVPs and Stanley Cups and gold medals. Right. But, you know, he's mean. He's aggressive. He likes to be mean. He likes to hit and hurt people, and he likes to shoot and score. That reminds me of Chris Pronger in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'm really keen on Aitchison, and I drafted him twice, I think, in two of my leagues.
Nice. Well, yeah. Well, he's going to be on the same team as Schaefer. Aitchison went to the Islanders. The Islanders got him, Schaefer, and in the pick before, if we're really jumping around here, Aitchison was 17 at 16. The Islanders had two picks, right? Because they traded away Noah Dobson to the Habs for those two picks. They took Victor Eklund, who's been going very high in fantasy drafts, even though he went 16th overall in real life. I'm seeing Victor Eklund went 7th overall in this Keeping Carlson Dynasty draft that I'm in. I'd imagine NHL teams passed on him because he's a little bit small.
Yeah.
They'll
regret that. Not well, fantasy, it does matter in fantasy, because if the coach won't play him, then right, he can't produce for you. So I'm very leery to draft smaller players. But 5'11", like, we're talking like an inch or two here, and it wouldn't be an issue, right? So who's to say he's done growing? But even if he doesn't, even if he tops out at 5'11", he is such an aggressive forechecking player that the fact that he's smaller than the players he's challenging, that doesn't cross his mind, I'm sure. And, you know, you look at his brother, so you can think, okay, so if he's even close to comparable to William Eklund, then I'm confident on his skill level and vision. And yeah, he might even be the better brother between the two. That would not surprise me in the least. And he's a player that I only managed to get once, but I wanted him in all my drafts.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking that there was a good chance with that 10th overall pick that I would get Victor Eklund. I just figured, like, he was in my group of 10 guys, that I'd be happy with any of these 10.
Yeah.
And I figured since he went 16th overall in the real draft, maybe. But no, he went 7th. If people are curious, actually, I might as well just say it was Misa, Schaefer, Denoyer. I don't know why I said it correctly when I talked about him. This time I did the Anglophone version. But yeah, Denoyer, okay, Martone, Frondell, Higgins, Eklund, O'Brien, McQueen, and then Brian and I took Brady Martin. And we'll talk about all those other guys. But since we're on the Islanders, can I ask you quick about a guy from like a couple years ago now? Callum Ritchie is going to be starting to play this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like trying to imagine the Islanders, because, you know, they kind of, I don't know if you call it a rebuild, but they traded away Noah Dobson. So I guess that's kind of like a move, you know, backwards in the short term. Would it be fair to say, like, if you were to bet right now, like, what's the top power play in, like, 3 years from now? They're still going to have Barzal and Horvat. They're both under contract for a million years. Barzal, Horvat, Ritchie, Eklund, Schaefer. Is that it?
Eklund might not make it. He's, you know, he's a tenacious forechecker, and he's a high-energy player. But if you're thinking that you have possession of the puck in the offensive zone, that's not really what you're looking for in that situation, right? You're looking for more finesse, more skill. Maybe if he can't keep possession in the offensive zone, then he'd be great at getting you the puck back. That's his puck, and don't you dare touch it, kind of Happy Gilmore style. You're probably mostly right there. Eklund is the guy I'm a little sketch on being like that elite of an offensive player, but he brings a lot of other elements to the game that I really like.
Okay. So, but that does sound like then you do expect, yeah, Callum Ritchie to be a top power play guy? Because I know people are really high on him.
Yeah, before this draft, he was their top prospect, and now it's Schaefer. But yeah, they're clearly rebuilding from a youth movement perspective, and Richie's going to be a huge part of that.
Cool.
Yeah,
I got him in this league.
Nice.
Hope you're right. I was surprised that Colorado just gave him away for Nelson, who was a pending UFA. I would have thought like a first maybe would be enough. He had given a great prospect. Okay, so where were we? Martone. Oh, James Higgins is next. James Higgins went 7th overall. He's the guy going into the season that I was hearing was the projected 1st overall. And then he fell all the way to 7th. I guess kind of in an Eklund-ish way. I heard vibes of like maybe he's like not so big or whatever, isn't going to like be tough in the playoffs. Maybe that's why some teams passed on him. But what's Boston getting here in Higgins? Because Boston could use a center, that's for sure. Like in their pipeline, they could use one right now. I don't know. I'm assuming Higgins is going back to college. But do you see him like as the almost for sure like top line center on this team in a couple of years?
Yeah, because their prospect pool is not great, right? Like who do they have in their pipeline that can challenge him for first line center in 3 years? I think the answer is nobody, but you know, there'll be next year's draft too. And there's trades and whatnot. So a lot of things can change, but Higgins, he did start the year as the number one overall. And you could say that he didn't do anything to lose that title, that Schaefer just outplayed him, just made more progression and more development than Higgins did. Now, Higgins didn't have a Macklin Celebrini type freshman season at college, but he was a point a game player as a 17-year-old playing university level players hockey. That's freaking great, man. And then he had 9 points with USA at the World Juniors too. I mean, I think people are selling him short, and because he fell in the draft a little bit, man, if he slipped to me at 4th or 5th in a fantasy draft, I'd snap him up no problem.
Is he the other one along with Martone that you would have taken ahead of Desnoyers?
All day long. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So yeah. I mean, he's got another season of college to go here. He's going to go back to Boston, and then he won't have far to go when he graduates to the NHL just around the corner. From Boston College to the Bruins. But yeah, I think he'll be here next season, and I think he'll hit the ground running in the NHL. And I think a lot of teams will look back and think, oh man, we could have had like a Jack Hughes, and instead we got Will Cooley.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I hear you. Like it's good luck for the Bruins though, I guess, to have him fall that far. I know the Islanders were also trying hard to trade for that pick and they weren't able to get him. So who is, in your opinion, the front runner to win the Hobey Baker best college player next year? Is it Higgins or Gavin McKenna, who I know everyone's super stoked about, or is there a dark horse?
Kind of hard not to pick Gav. That kid is just dynamite. He is so freaking good, Elon. Like, if you're thinking about rebuilding your fantasy hockey team and you're going to start tanking this year, this is the time to do it. If you can get the first overall pick next year and get McKenna, you're all set.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are playing that way in my leagues, just like trading away pros to get stock up firsts for next year to hope to win the McKenna lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Brian and I went the different way. We decided to trade for Eichel and Kucherov and go for it. So we'll see if it turns out to be a mistake. But yeah, I hear that that's going to be a really exciting draft. So we'll definitely have to talk about that in a year. Let's set a calendar reminder. But let's continue going through this first round here. So Jake O'Brien went next to Seattle. I've heard that a lot of people think like Jake O'Brien is really incredible. My concern with fantasy just right off the bat is everyone on Seattle is just blah, and they have like a top 9 or even like top 12. It seems like all they just spread all the players and all the lines and they all get equal power play time. But that's whatever. Like maybe things will be different by the time Jake O'Brien is ready. But yeah, he just had an incredible season in the OHL. 98 points in 66 games, 32 goals. Is this become like one of Seattle's top guys? Because Seattle has like all these prospects. Well, I don't even call them prospects anymore, but like they've picked Shane Wright, they've picked Matty Beniers over the years early in the first. Where does Jake O'Brien rank among the other first round picks from the Kraken?
Right. So you're right. Seattle's got a bunch of like, if you're scoring their forwards between 1 and 10, they got a lot of 7s and 8s, right? But no 9s or 10s that are really wow type players. Is Jake O'Brien that guy? I don't know. He's one of the most difficult to project players. He's got a lot of upside, right? Cam likes him to be like Elias Pettersson kind of upside, which can be pretty high when all things go well for him.
That'd be incredible.
But if you get a guy who has the potential to be a 9 and there's a team of full of 7s and 8s, then, you know, there's not a lot of roadblock competition or roster block competition for him to take over that first line position. Who was their first round pick last year? Catton?
Oh, yeah, Berkeley Catton.
Yeah. So he's got the potential to be that guy too. Jake O'Brien is a little slight, so I'm a little bit concerned about the physical element of his game. He's got to work hard to add some strength and conditioning into his game so that he can survive the pro level. But in terms of the way he envisions the ice and play and playmaking and skill and skating abilities, no problem there. This guy is an NHL upside player all day long. Because he kind of sees the ice really well in a lot of ways, it might make him a good fit for a second line center, which they already have two of those guys. Like Shane Wright does all those things that I just said. And it's taken him a little bit of time to get there, but I think we're about to see Shane Wright arrive in an impactful way in the NHL. And Matty Beniers hit the ground running in his rookie season. He looks like a 1A, 1B center for Seattle. So how are these guys going to fit in? Maybe they move to the wing. Remember, we're talking about 3 or 4 years before Jake O'Brien's, I think, is ready to play in the NHL. So we'll see what the contract situation and trades are and what the landscape in Seattle looks like then. But for now, I'd feel confident taking him in the top 10. I think he's got the potential to be one of the better players to come out of this draft. I'm just not as convinced of its actuality of happening. So I would probably take some guys who I feel a little bit stronger in, or if I'm not feeling very patient, I might take someone who I think could be in the NHL sooner, or in most of the league's cases I'm in, someone who's going to give me more than just goals and assists, maybe face-off wins if I'm lucky, but hits and penalty minutes as well, and more shots than him because he's more of a playmaker.
Right, I see. So yeah, maybe power play points, but yeah, if you're not getting the shots and goals and hits, like that's a few categories right there.
Yeah.
If the only problem though is he needs to like get bigger, that's not so hard, right? You hire someone, you eat well.
Absolutely, that's a very correctable flaw, if you want to call it that, but not a large hurdle to clear.
My doctor told me recently that I should get some exercise. So I've been going. I don't know. And I have a job. This is his job.
Yeah,
he can do it. He'll be fine. I can't wait to see what he looks like in a couple of years. But okay, so then Buffalo took a guy who definitely does not have that problem in Radim Mertka, who by all accounts is a huge person already at 18 years old. 6'6". Oh my goodness. 218 pounds. I'm just on the Elite Prospect site right now. So Mertka, am I right from what I gathered and said in the intro here that this is like a good defensive player but not necessarily a contributor in fantasy? Or are you going to correct me like you did with Aitchison and say that there is potential some offense here?
Yeah, there is some. But, you know, you're not getting superstar comparisons with him. You're getting guys like Colton Parayko as your comparison with an upside.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah. So this is another Bangers League guy. He'll get you hits and blocks as well and probably some penalty minutes because he's big and snarly. But he will also get you some points too. Probably less than 10 goals a season in the 30-point range. But when you put it all together, that's pretty damn good, right? Is it worthy of a first-round pick? Absolutely. Is it worthy of a top 10? not quite for me. He's someone who I would look at after probably about the first dozen players. And he could be the second defenseman off the board. I would also strongly consider Kashawn Aitchison as well as the second D. Those would be my two choices if I needed to pick a defenseman, because I had none and I had lots of forwards in my pipeline and I was picking around the 12 or later range and both those guys were on the table. I would look to either one of those guys. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. I mean, you say he's good, but then you said like around 30 points. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess
I didn't say he was a superstar.
Going for. Yeah. Oh, right, for real life. Sure. I'd imagine
big mobile defensemen
have him. They already have
are the thing.
Yeah. So what is happening in Buffalo? They've got Dahlin. They've got Power. They just extended Byram for a couple years. I guess they'll have Mertka in a couple years. Well, I guess. And they traded for Kesselring in the Paterka trade. Who is Owen Power anything anymore?
What is
like,
Buffalo's
do I even want
plan?
Owen Power in my dynasty league? Yeah. Well, yeah, in general. But yeah, I'm curious about Power at this point.
Does Buffalo know what their plan is? Yeah, Owen Power. I mean, the defensemen take some time, and he's a big guy, and they take a little bit of time too. I would not give up on Owen Power unless you're in a cap league. He's what is he making? $9 million? He ain't worth that right now. Could he grow into that cap value? Yeah, absolutely. Right, like he's got all the tools there. I think maybe part of the problem, there's two parts of the problem with him, is he's playing on a crappy team. And he's playing on a crappy team that he can't get the lion's share of the ice time because, like, to your point, they've got Bowen Byram and Rasmus Dahlin, who are all very, very good defensemen. They could all be number one defensemen on a team. And they got three of those guys. So not enough ice to go around. And, you know, sometimes to be the man, you got to be the man, right? You got to have that role and run with it. You can't just kind of, by a committee, be a star defenseman on a team.
Yeah, so maybe for Owen Power fantasy managers, you're hoping for a trade at some point. Get some new opportunity on a team where he could be... Because, look at like a Matthew Schaefer who just got taken first overall. He's like for sure going to be their main defenseman. You know, there's no question. Like, who else would it even be?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
all right. So
the question is just a matter of when, if not... who it's Schaefer. The only question is when.
Right. I guess up to him to like disappoint people, but he's the one who's going to be given the opportunity, of course. Then we get, where are we now? We're at already pick 10 here. We're flying through. Roger McQueen goes to the Anaheim Ducks. Here's the vibe I've got on Roger McQueen. It's like, he's like awesome apparently, but he had a big injury. And so people are worried that, is he going to be able to overcome that? He's like, apparently like a big center and it's really hard to find guys like him, like with that kind of profile, and he gets points, but the injury is concerning. And also, I guess just along with an injury is like a small sample size of games. So while he looked awesome, again, kind of like what we talked about with Schaefer, maybe we didn't see how he, a potential drop off if he played like a longer season. So is that basically the case? Like high risk, high reward. If you take him in fantasy, it's like a chance he turns out to be like a dud, but a chance he's like a top five guy.
Yeah. So the deal with him was the back injury, and it gave everyone Caden Lindstrom vibes, right? He went third overall in 24 in Vegas, and then he didn't play the whole season. Basically came in late at the end of the year there and played a handful of games in the playoffs. So that's a multi-million dollar draft pick decision you're making in this range of the draft. And if his back is going to prohibit him from having a career, that's a mistake that you can get fired for. So there's a lot of pressure in picking him in the top five or top 10 in the draft. Now, as fantasy owners, we can't get fired. We get heckled by our league mates for picking a guy that can't play hockey. That's too bad. Move on. No big deal. But for NHL, the stakes are like super high. So if his back weren't an issue, he would have probably played his way into contention for first overall. I mean, the guy's a unicorn. Wow. The guy's a unicorn, Elon. He's huge. He's skilled. He's got moves. And like, unlike Porter Moton, he plays aggressive and physical. Like, the guy is exactly what NHL teams want as their first line center right now. But can he play? Right? So very, very Caden Lindstrom-esque. If he slips out of your draft's top 10 and you got a choice between him and pretty much anybody else, you should absolutely take him. If he hits, you're getting like a first overall caliber player.
Yeah, so it seems like a no-brainer. He was picked 9th in this draft I was talking about. There was like a long wait for that pick. So I was like, oh, am I going to get McQueen or Martin? I wasn't even sure who I would take, but I probably would have taken McQueen, especially if I waited to talk to you. But yeah, I guess I feel like they shouldn't fire Pat Verbeek. I mean, maybe they should for other reasons, but like, I don't think you should fire the GM because you draft for everything you said. It's like you take a swing. I think if anything, you fire the one who picked Jack Nesbitt if it turns out you were right and he's like a nobody. Like, why are we firing the person who took a swing on a high upside person? I think fire the person who made a safe pick and missed out on the high upside person.
Well, the combine would have played a huge role in McQueen's draft status, right? Because the team's doctors get a chance to look at the reports and the files and they interview them and they get a real warm, fuzzy feeling about it. They, oh, okay, this isn't a chronic thing. Have you ever had a back injury, Elon?
No, like every once in a while, I like get out of bed in a weird way and then it kind of hurts for a little bit. And that's already hard to like go through the day.
Well, let me tell you, pal, if you have a back injury, the idea of taking a body check is not on the table. I mean, just putting your socks on is painful and challenging. But playing hockey and taking body hits and absolutely not possible. So if his back is really compromised and it's not fixable, then that's a really big risk, man.
For sure.
And we've seen it end players' careers before. There's a long list of guys who didn't have a career because of injuries, and back injuries is one of the more common ones for career ending. So I hope for Anaheim's sake and everyone who drafted him, and more importantly for Roger McQueen's sake, that he can overcome it and manage it and it's correctable and it's not going to be an issue going forward for him, because man, he's gonna have a great career if that's the case.
Okay, well, yeah, good luck to him, and I'm with you. Take the swing in fantasy. Yeah.
He was on my pick list.
Nice. Ahead of Desnoyers? As it depends on how risky you want to be.
I'll tell you. Let me take a look at my list. Big Raj. No, I didn't have him ahead of Desnoyers.
Okay, it's not. I mean, if you're taking a safe pick,
right,
that's
after,
like...
Right okay, after.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's safe and then there's like safe but like good. Like Desnoyers seems like safe to be like a really impactful guy. So even if you get it wrong and McQueen's better, like how much better is he going to be? Like, you know, Desnoyers is still going to be really good. But okay. So we're through the top 10 here. Then we get to some of these picks that I know a lot of people were kind of questioning. Like, you know, we've already talked about how Eklund is so awesome, but he didn't go till 16. In the meantime, we had Pittsburgh took Benjamin Kindle. Who had a really big point season in the WHL. I guess you can tell me how much that translates to the NHL, but I heard that a lot of people thought that this Kindle pick was also kind of a bit of a reach, kind of like Nesbitt, the pick after.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he plays a little bit of a feisty style as well, so I kind of like that. His upside comparable is Travis Konechny, but I think you're looking at probably... 50-point player at best here. If everything breaks well for him, maybe 70, okay. But I think you're looking at more in the 50 range.
Right. Okay, well then, not especially exciting. I guess you take a chance on him. I feel like I can get some free agents. I just added this guy out of free agency at the end of last season, Shabanov, who now signed with the Islanders.
Yeah.
Because I got him for free. Didn't even have to use a high draft pick. I feel he probably also has 50-point upside, right?
It's like you're shopping at that new bin store where every day the prices go down a little bit, and you just got him for like you got him on Friday for $1.50.
Exciting. Yeah, well, I'm bragging now. Watch in a couple of years, like Kindle's a star and Shabanov's out of the NHL, but okay, I'll brag here.
Yeah.
So then I know, okay, so 12, we talked about Nesbitt. 13, Detroit gets Carter Bear. Okay, I'm excited to talk about this because I know a lot of people really like Carter Bear. I like his name. How many animal names do we have in the NHL?
We got a couple of bears.
I guess that Ethan Bear.
Yeah.
He didn't turn out that well. Are they related?
No.
Ethan Bear had injuries, I think. Yeah, anyway.
No, not related.
So Carter Bear, what's are you as high on him as I hear a lot of people are? In this league that I'm in, this draft, he went 11th. So after that group of 10, where we've now covered all of those guys, Bear was the next one off the board.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the things I said about Eklund, he's kind of like a cross between Eklund and Brady Martin, where he's a tenacious, forechecking player. The skill level is good, but not like elite, despite the fact that he had 82 points this season. I don't see that level of production translating higher unless he has some serious development going forward. But he is a NHL all day long kind of player. And if he's on your team, if you're a Detroit fan or you draft him on your fantasy roster and you're watching Detroit games, you're going to love this guy because he hustles and competes so hard. His skill level is pretty good, like I said. There's a lot to like about him. He's 6 foot, so he's not undersized, but he's not a monster either. So his physicality impact will be what it is. He's 180 pounds, but he's 18 years old. So there's opportunity for those numbers to get a little bit more intimidating by the time he gets to the NHL. He's got another year of junior coming up here, so we'll see how that goes. I suspect it will go very well. And if you drafted Carter Bear, well done. Good pick.
Okay, so he's good. Detroit has a whole bunch of good players they've drafted that, or people tell me they're good, and I guess we'll find out in a little bit. You know, you have MBN, Michael Brandstad Nygaard, Nate Danielson was picked a couple years ago. We just saw Marco Kasper last year, and he seemed good. Like, should Detroit fans be really excited, or is this like kind of a situation like you were saying with Seattle, like a bunch of just good, like, you know, 7 out of 10s, but no one that's an 8 or 9?
Yeah, Detroit's had some bad luck with draft lotteries where they moved down a couple times. Axel Sandin Pelikka is another player they have in their system, then one that you want to be excited about. Yeah, there's a lot of upside and potential there. But, you know, they don't have the same sort of prospect pool that Washington or San Jose or Chicago, those kind of caliber teams have. You know, they got a lot of nice players, NHL players for sure. But not a lot of elite upside there. And they've also graduated Simon Edvinson, right, and Mo Sider in recent history as well. So
yeah, Lucas Raymond.
Right.
So, looks like they should be a good team. Maybe it's time. Well, I guess Carter Bear, we're still going to wait a little while for. But sounds like you're saying another strong piece to this puzzle. Okay, I guess Jackson Smith at 14th overall. At some point, I guess we'll have to break from just going player by player and just jump to Peter's favorites. But Jackson Smith seems like an offensive defenseman in a draft where there aren't too many of them. Like, you know, after Schaefer, we were already talking about like Aitchison and, you know, Mertka as more like physical guys, maybe some offense. Is Jackson Smith, would you say, the next highest offensive upside defenseman after Schaefer? Or am I giving him too much credit?
Yeah, no, I would say that's probably right. And despite the fact that he's 6'3", he's got good size, right? So the other guys I were talking about, Murta and Aitchison, they're all big. But Jackson Smith doesn't really seem to play that sort of same physical element. But he's a good skating two-way defender. I would say he's probably looking at that maybe in the 20 point range in the NHL, 40 point range. So 40 points would be is probably his, you know, upper echelon for scoring.
So you don't see like a top power play of the future for the Penguins, because they don't really have anyone right now slotted in as far as I know.
No. I think
he's not that kind of guy.
The search goes on. Right. Well, there's a lot of development to go here still. I'm not saying it's impossible. I wouldn't put money on it.
And sorry, I just realized I said the Penguins. I don't know why I thought Jaxon Smith went to the Penguins. I don't know. He went to Columbus, so he's definitely not going to be the top power play guy of the future, because they definitely have not only Werenski, but they also have Matejczuk. So yeah, I guess. Okay, so I don't know why I said that. So yeah, Jaxon Smith seems like, yeah, another guy that's kind of blocked, kind of like Aitchison, I guess, from getting like that meaningful deployment. Pittsburgh could use a defenseman. I wonder why I'm thinking of Pittsburgh. Maybe just because they are a team that could use an offensive defenseman in the future, and I guess we'll see. But okay, so I guess we're almost through the top 20, and these are all interesting guys. I guess, so I'll just name all of them, and then maybe we can go through it. Like the Canucks take Braden Coutts at 15, and then the Flames took Cole Reschny at 18. And in another Dynasty draft I had, the choice between the two of them, this was like past 20, so I thought I was getting like a pretty good deal. I was getting a top 20 guy like past 20. We ended up taking Coots, and then in this like Keeping Carlson draft, someone just took Reschny ahead of Coots, and I was like, oh no, did I make a mistake taking Coots over Reschny? So I don't know. Is that a fun question to you? Who do you take between Coots and Reschny?
I don't know. I'd probably flip a coin.
Okay. So perhaps that's a big mistake.
No, sometimes you would take into consideration factors like the team that drafted them. What's their drafting and development process like? And I don't think Vancouver or Calgary are particularly good or bad at developing players. They both had some successes and misses. So that kind of balances itself out. And, you know, they're four picks apart at this range in the draft is pretty indifferent as well. So I guess it would just be a dealer's choice at that point. You know, you pick your favorite between the two, and there's no wrong choice.
You're not like especially excited about either of them, it sounds like.
Not really.
Okay. And then Justin Carboneau, 19 to St. Louis. He is someone that I've heard a lot of people very excited about. Actually, your co-host Victor has him ranked as like a super high end like fantasy option, I guess, like good for shots and goals and like and hits, like all the fantasy stuff. And I guess the reason he fell in the draft then would be maybe not great defensively. Is that kind of the vibe? But like a potential big hit for fantasy. Like Justin Carboneau went 12th in this draft that I'm in right now, and Carter Bear went 11th. I actually thought Carboneau was going to go 11th. I think Carboneau went 11th in the other draft I did.
Yeah, I like Carboneau a lot better than some of the guys we've been talking about recently, and I would have picked him higher than 19th. He would have been closer to the 12 range for my draft rankings. I mean, he's a winger, not a center, but he's 6'2", 200 pounds. So he's already got, you know, adult man size. His skating is good, and so is his playmaking. And he scored 46 goals last season. That's pretty good, man. There's a lot to like with this file. Defense is something you can learn. You can coach that into a game. Compete level, offensive, those are things that are a little bit harder to teach. So, you know, if his defensive game is just a little lacking, then you can either correct that, or if his offense is good enough, just kind of live with it and go with live with the goal he gives up every other game, and take the 2 points he gets for you every other game, and just hope that it works out in the end for you. No, he's got good fantasy value. He's a player who I think has better fantasy than reality value.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what we're here for. So yeah, definitely anyone who isn't aware, bump Justin Carboneau up your dynasty rankings if you haven't drafted yet. Okay, then I'll name two more guys before I throw to you for the dealer's choice here. I guess we got to hit a couple goalies, right? At 20, Columbus took Peter Andreyanov, and then later in the first round, the Sharks took Joshua Ravensbergen at 30. I know that the big news from Columbus was Andreyanov then signed in the KHL for like a 5-year contract. So I know people would then be thinking like, well, what's the point of drafting him? He's not going to be there for 5 years. And I guess my thought is like, well, Ravensbergen is like 18 years old. Like, how long do you think you're waiting for him? You know, like any goalie, I feel like that's drafted at 17 or 18, you're probably waiting 4 or 5 years anyways. So I don't know personally, but tell me if I'm mistaken. You're like, I kind of feel like, what's the difference? Like, it's just at least he'll like, you know, he'll come in 5 years and potentially be experienced. But of course, it comes down to like if he's actually good. So do you like either of these goalies, or is there another goalie you like better in terms of someone you should draft now? Wait 4 or 5 years and you're going to have the next Sorokin or Shesterkin or I don't know,
yeah,
Dustin Wolf.
Goalies.
Oh, another animal, Dustin Wolf.
There you
That's
go.
Good one.
Goalies, drafting goalies in this early in the draft is like you're playing the long game there, and goalies are voodoo. there's been a lot of goalies that are drafted high in the NHL and didn't pan out. So, you know, the combination of the uncertainty of the position and then coupled with the super long wait time that you're undoubtedly looking at, it's really unappealing for me as a fantasy manager, right? Like, I don't want to wait 5 years for a guy who could be good. I'll take a shot at a guy who maybe has lower upside that's a skater that I can get in 2 years or so, and then I can find other ways to get goalies, like trade for a goalie, right? And then when you're trading for guys that are in the NHL, you already know what you're getting, right? You have an established commodity. So I would probably never pick a goalie in the first round. I've done it recently with Jesper Wallstat and Spencer Knight, and I'm still waiting on both those guys to turn into what I thought they would be. And it's been years.
Yeah, maybe so, next year.
Maybe. I hope so, buddy.
You got the starter on the Blackhawks now.
I know, but they suck. So he's starting, but he's not getting me any dubs.
Yeah. Saves.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of saves. Yeah, I'm winning that category, but that's about it, man. So who knows? I still like the upside with Knight, and his pedigree is strong, and you know, a little bit concerned about his visit at the player assistance program, but hopefully he's benefited from their help and he's good to go. So yeah, goalies. I mean, these are both good goalies, and if you want to pick a goalie, you can't really go wrong with either of these guys. They're both right. Solid picks, but I would wait a lot longer and take Petteri Rempinen, I think is how you say his name. I like him as my top goalie for this draft. And he was picked in the fifth round, 152nd to Los Angeles. And he was the goalie that backstopped Finland to a silver medal at the World Juniors recently. And he's already 19 years old, so he's a year closer to being ready. And he's playing in Liga. He's under contract for next season only, so he could come over to North America after next year as a 20-year-old and play in the American Hockey League. And then maybe after 1 year in the American Hockey League, he could be ready if he makes it. I mean, the upside on him isn't as high as these other guys, but you don't have to wait 5 years to find out. Right? It could be a bust, but you also don't have to waste a first round pick on him. You can probably get him in your third round. So there's some things I think about goaltenders. My goalie rant is over.
I'm searching in my draft room for this draft that's ongoing. I'm not even finding Rempinen in the. Is he even on Fantrax? I guess you must have drafted him.
Yeah, I sure did. Where he is.
Where is this guy?
Rempinen.
Yeah.
Is how you spell his last name.
Not coming up. I don't know. Okay. I'm probably doing something wrong. But okay. So you heard it here first. Petteri Rempinen. I guess the reason why I'm kind of interested, just to be a basic kind of guy who just has his cornflakes in the morning or whatever, like, I guess you look at the Columbus drafting Petr Andrianov at 20th overall, knowing he was going to sign a 5-year contract. I don't know how much you like put into like this perspective of like, I feel like with a goalie, it's just like they must clearly have a lot of faith that at least when you wait those years, the plan is to bring him over, you know, and give him a shot. Otherwise, why would they use such a high pick on a guy? So that's what makes me a little more interested in him, just because like to know he's going to be a long time and still use the high pick.
I think the upside on him is higher than Rempinen for sure. Right. Rempinen could end up, he could end up being the better option, Rempinen. But if I had to put money on it, I'd put money on Andrianov. And then the whole five year NHL contract thing. Well, we thought that with Michkov, and that turned out to be like, what was it, 1 year?
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, right. I guess you never know.
So, I know the KHL contracts were something that I would really worry about. And then Michkov just kind of like, maybe not such a big deal.
Yeah.
There's a precedent, I guess, first, there now.
But skaters also like just start earlier. Like even if Andrianov comes to the NA or comes to North America, he'll probably have to play in the minors for like a number of years, I'd imagine. Like when's the last time we've seen a teenager goalie in the NHL. By the way, I did find Petteri Rimpinen, and the reason why I couldn't find him in my draft room is because he's already rostered, because in my league, we have a rule where once someone has been eligible for a draft, you can just grab him as a free agent, and someone jumped on him because I guess he was eligible last year.
Well, they're smart.
And I'm dumb. I didn't even know this person. Meanwhile, the New Orbit Guardians.
You got to watch the World Juniors, pal. That's where you get all the gems.
Yeah, I blew it. Oh, well. I don't even want to do the rest of the show anymore. No, okay. So yes, we've gone through the top 20. I still see some names of guys that I've seen drafted like decently high. Like I'll just like some names that jump out at me that I've seen drafted pretty high. Lyndon Lakovich, who went 27 to Washington. Cullen Potter, who went 32 to Calgary. This is Alexander Jarovsky, who went to Montreal at 34. Do any of those three, or is there anyone else that jumps out at you as someone who wasn't taken in the top 20 but has the potential to be like a high upside fantasy guy?
Yeah, I like Bill Zonin, actually. Pittsburgh picked him 22nd overall. He's coming out of the queue. He was at that top prospects game too, and he can make some plays, man. He's got some hands, and he's 6'2", 185, so I like that also. He's a winger, not a center, so that's, you know, centers are better. But he scored 28 goals and 83 points this season. And, you know, like I said, he's got good size too, 6'2", 185. So I like his compete level a lot and his skill and size. That's something I really enjoyed. Sacha Bomedien, Winnipeg Jets 28th overall pick. He had a monster U18 tournament at the end of the season here, where he had 14 points in 7 games for Sweden. He played last season at Boston University and loved me the Terriers, but you know, he's playing behind Cole Hutson. So Cole got all the offensive starts there. But he's a 6'2 defenseman and he skates really well. And he's a good two-way defenseman. I think his NHL value would be better than his fantasy value. So the fact that he was picked in the first round of the NHL draft, I would probably try and see if he slipped to the second round before I picked him. And then another player that's got a lot of conversation is Mason West, the football player coming out of the States. The kid is 6'6", 218 pounds, and he's 17 years old. He's playing high school hockey, which, you know, not great. You know, we saw Boston last year drafted Dean Letourneau. That was his name. He scored prolifically at the high school level in his draft year, and then I think had 1 point in the NCAA in his D+1 season. But it, you know, give him time. I'm not saying he's a bust. But getting back to Mason West, the player in hand here. The really only major concern with him is he's such a good athlete. He's got the option to play football or hockey. And so there's a little bit of concern that he might choose football, even though he's said he's committed to play hockey. And he's going to Michigan State next season. But man, he's got such great skill and such great size. He's such a great skater as well for a player his age at his size. It's, you know, there's a lot of upside with this guy. So he's a first round pick all day long, but you know, if he ends up playing football, then that's a bit of a bummer.
That would be like fireable, just like drafting the guy with the bad back. You draft a guy who didn't even play the sport.
Another player that's really interesting to talk about, San Jose Sharks first pick in round two, Simon Wang. I'm not sure how you pronounce his Chinese name, but he's a player that got a lot of attention, probably because he sits 6'6", 213, and he's the highest drafted Chinese born player in NHL history, I believe. Played 30 games with the Oshawa Generals in the OHL this season. Didn't score a goal, had 2 assists. He's heading to Boston University. He is a long-term project too. And I'm not sure what the fantasy best case scenario for him is, but it's probably 20 points and a lot of hits and blocks. If your league doesn't count peripheral stats, then this guy is not someone who you should take. despite despite the high draft pedigree and you know all the buzz about him. He might be a great NHL player, but he's not going to really move the needle in fantasy hockey, as far as I can tell. I've seen him play a couple times, and he's tall, for sure. He's very tall. Got a great wingspan.
Okay,
but not a lot of offensive instincts there.
All right, so save Wang for a late pick to fill out your Bangers D. Maybe you're hoping to get a Radko Gudas or something.
I don't think he's that mean, though.
Right. Well, who's he hitting?
All
right,
I think he's more of a Hal Gill. Do you remember Hal Gill?
Not for fantasy purposes.
Right? That's what I'm saying. No one remembers Hal Gill.
What was the name of the guy Gill on the Leafs back in like the 90s?
Oh, Todd Gill.
Todd Gill. Who's better, Hal Gill or Todd Gill?
Todd Gill. Okay. Todd was good. I mean, his nickname, he wore the goat horns in Toronto, and his nickname for a lot of Leaf fans was No Skill Kill. But he had a great NHL career, and he's actually a really nice guy. I've interviewed and met him several times when he was coaching Kingston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he was a really good player. I had all kinds of time for him. Great guy, too. Really nice fellow.
I think the main reason I know him is because I played a lot of NHL 94. And I think that just when you played as the Leafs, he was like on their top D pairing.
Yeah. Back in the day.
All right. Well, I guess, Peter, unless you have anyone else, I guess we can move on from this draft and we'll see, you know, how this shakes out. If you have a little bit of time, I'd love to just quickly jump to last year's draft. Some of these guys are going to be coming in this year. I just want to know, like, do you have a hunch of anyone who's going to be like our big breakout Calder candidate? Like, we already saw Celebrini have a great first season, so no surprises there. But coming to this season, you know, we're going to be seeing Demidov playing for the Habs. Zane Parekh looks like he's going to play for Calgary. Bouillon for Minnesota. I know people are excited about a lot of these guys. Do you have a hunch of who's going to be our biggest, like, in a one-year league, who from the 2024 draft, outside of the obvious choices of Celebrini and maybe even Demidov is too obvious of a choice? Like, who are you excited about?
Yeah, Demidov for sure. I mean, Celebrini's already established, but yeah, Demidov came in and kind of got everybody excited last year, and for good reason, and lived up to the hype. Caden Lindstrom and Tidje Ginlar both have some injury issues that we're worried about. Zane Parekh, I think he's in the NHL next season. I really like his offensive upside. He could be a really impactful player. Zeev Bouillon in Minnesota, I think, is going to be a top pairing defenseman right out of the gate as well. So those two guys for sure.
Can I ask you about Zane Parekh? I've been doing some mock drafts with the Keeping Carlson patrons, and I'm wondering about like a Mackenzie Weegar who was so good last year. But I remember last year, you know, a lot of people were taking Mike Matheson, even though they knew that Lane Hudson was coming into the league. It was like, there's no way Lane Hudson's going to take top power play in his rookie season. And then, you know, a couple months later, Lane Hudson's on the top power play and Mike Matheson is like a lot less valuable in fantasy. Is that potentially going to happen to Mackenzie Weegar, do you think? Do you think they were like halfway through next year and Zane Parekh is QBing the top power play in Calgary?
Sooner than that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Rasmus Anderson is on the trade block, right? So even if he stays in, his competition on the right side is Anderson and Weegar. And other than that, name another Calgary defenseman.
Oh, sure. I mean, so yeah, he's going to make the team. I guess I'm wondering if he's like, yeah. I'm concerned specifically about the power play. Yeah.
Kevin Ball, Joe Hanley, Dean, Braden Paschal. Like, these guys are not threats.
Big contract.
Yeah, but he's not going to be on PP1. Right? That's why they drafted Zane Parekh. That's his bread and butter, right? Mm. So, Weegar might get PP1 unit, but Parekh's going to be on two right out of the gate. And I think he's just going to outperform. Like, Mackenzie Weegar's a good defenseman, right? But he's not just an offensive defenseman. There's other elements of his game that are very valuable. Parekh is pretty much offense. That's what he does. That's his A game. That's his B game. It's his XYZ game. He's an offensive defenseman. I mean, he's not a liability defensively per se. And, you know, he's not small and he plays a little greasy, but he's not very big and intimidating physically. He is an offensive defenseman and a power play specialist. That's what he is and what he does. And he does it really damn good. I don't think it's going to take him very long to win that role, just like Lane in Montreal.
And then is it the same for Bouillemin in, you know, Minnesota? Because there's even less competition there. Like sometimes Spurgeon took it, sometimes Faber took it.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between Parekh and Bouillem, and that Bouillem is a lot more dynamic or diverse than one-dimensional Zane Parekh is. Zeev Bouillem he's very good offensively. He's very good defensively. He rushes the puck very well. He can play big minutes in all situations, whereas Parekh is more just kind of offense, right? Offensive starts, power play, that kind of stuff. Zeev will play a lot more minutes, I think, than Parekh, but Parekh will play a lot more offensive minutes than Zeev.
Gotcha.
So just from a pure points projection, Parekh has probably got the edge there, but I mean, Zeev is just, all the guy does is win. And you give those guys all the ice time they can handle, right? Like Scott Niedermayer, all he did was win. So you just played him as much as you could. And he produced a lot of points. Was he the most offensive defenseman in the NHL? No. Was he the best? Yes. So that's kind of a similar analogy here between the two players.
Okay. So yeah, that's will be really fun next year to follow all of our 2024 draftees. I guess there's also some exciting 2023s that are going to be coming in. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on to talk about 2025 principally. Was that the right use of the word principally? I don't know. Came to my head in the moment. But it's been a fun chat, Peter.
Yeah, thanks for getting me back on a podcast. The DPR show is kind of over. And I'm not.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm not with Dauber anymore. I'm basically a free agent. I'm unaffiliated at the moment. So I'm kind of enjoying some downtime from hockey. So thanks for getting me on. It was fun to chat. All the homework, I'd already done it for all my fantasy drafts, right? So like my girlfriend asked me, he's like, oh yeah, we got dinner tonight. What time do you need to be in your pod? How much time do you need to prep? I'm like, I'm already prepped. I've done my drafts. I know my players.
Yeah. I had no concern, obviously. Just bring Peter on and then mention a prospect's name and then you'll go off and say some interesting things. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Is there anything then you want to tell people to check out, or is it just like come and hang out since you're retired now from fantasy?
Well, I left Auburn in really good hands with Mark and Pat. They've come up with a new strategy. The challenge we always had at Dauber Prospects was finding 32 volunteer writers to cover each team, right? It was like playing whack-a-mole. You'd fill one position and then two more writers would be like, are you still with us? What's going on? Where'd you go? So now they've got a much different system where they've got fewer writers covering more teams. So yeah, they're really on top of things there. So I'm happy to see that going in a good direction. And I do have some stuff coming out in the McKean's yearbook, my usual articles there. I'm going to repeat on this show for you this time of year. And McKean's has me on every year to do the late round steals and the prospect rankings. So I really enjoy writing those articles. And like I said, for this show, I've already done all the homework for my own drafts. So it's pretty low hanging fruit. I'm happy to do it.
And was the number one late round steal for McKean's Petteri Rimpinen from the LA Kings?
No, cause it's not 25 draft. I don't do that. I do like, you know, NCAA free agents and European imports.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But the guy you signed is number one on that list.
Who's that?
The Russian guy you signed is number one on that list.
Oh, Shabanov.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He's going to kill it. He's going to win the Calder. Forget about Parekh and all these other losers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again for Peter for coming on. We'll be back with, I think our next show is going to be about the schedule. That's currently the plan. August is a tough time to come up with fantasy hockey podcast ideas, but the NHL schedule has come out. And if you want to be really good at fantasy hockey, you could like get some edges by drafting players with beneficial schedules, you know, more off-day games. Maybe look at back-to-backs for goalies. So we'll get into that in the next few weeks. So stay subscribed to Kimmy Carlson and check out that McKean's Guide for Peter's late round steals. And I guess all I have left to say is try your best to make it so that fantasy hockey is for everyone. See ya!